Don't shoot.
Hands up.
Don't shoot.
Hands up.
Don't shoot.
Welcome to the All Souls Forum here on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City's community radio. On today's show, we will be broadcasting the vigil for Michael Brown that was held in Kansas City at the J.C. Nichols Fountain as part of the National Moment of Silence 2014. It was one of over 100 vigils held in the cities across the United States on Thursday, August 14th. And now on to our show.
As we look at images of Ferguson, Missouri, with officers in combat gear, we see that this war has not come to an end. New York Times journalist Matt Apuzzo reported that in the Obama era, police departments have received tens of thousands of machine guns, nearly 200,000 ammunition magazines, thousands of pieces of camouflage and night vision equipment, and hundreds of silencers, armored cars, and aircraft. The ACLU asserts that American policing has become excessively militarized through the use of weapons and tactics designed for the battlefield. One of these tactics is shooting to kill suspects. This militarization unfairly impacts people of color and undermines individual liberties, and it has been allowed to happen in the absence of any meaningful public discussion. According to the Wall Street Journal, the amount of SWAT raids has increased from around 3,000 a year in 1980 to 50,000 a year in 2005. We are not just mourning the loss of Mike Brown. His death is one of many fruits on the tree of injustice.
This next part is different activists reading accounts of victims of police brutality.
On the morning of my wedding, I was leaving my bachelorette party with friends. One of them became engaged in an argument. In plain clothes, officer believed that we were going to retrieve a gun from my car. He called for backup. When the officers saw my friend reach into the car for something, they began to shoot. In total, over 50 rounds of shots were fired into the car that morning, with one officer even stopping to reload. We were all unarmed. I didn't make it to my wedding. I am Sean Bell.
Grant. While at the Fruitvale Station, I was apprehended by officers. I was handcuffed, and one of the officers decided to tase me. Despite my begging and crying, he would not listen. Unfortunately, instead of a taser, he pulled out his service pistol and he shot me in the back.
My name is Amadou Diallo. I was a recent Ghanaian immigrant to the U.S. On February 4th, 1999, four plainclothes police officers approached me. I ran away and reached in my pocket to take out my wallet, though they thought it was a gun. At 12:44 a.m., the police officers fired at me 41 times, with 19 of the bullets entering my body. I was unarmed. The four officers were later acquitted of my murder.
My name is Rakia Boyd. On March 21st, 2012, I was shot by an off-duty police officer in Columbus Park, Illinois, during a confrontation that he had with another person. The other person involved had a cell phone, but the officer mistook it for a gun and fired 5 shots. I was an innocent bystander. No weapons were recovered from me.
My name is John Loxus. On Valentine's Day 2012, my neighbors accused me of causing a disturbance and threatening them. When the police showed up to my house and fired the one fateful round that ended my life, I was not holding a gun in my hands or on my body. I was holding my infant grandson.
My
My name is Ayanna Jones. Again, my name is Ayanna Jones. I was 7 years old when I left this earth. A little after midnight on May 16th, 2010, I was asleep on my couch next to my grandmother. We had no idea that a SWAT team and filming crew from A&E were outside of our door. The SWAT team threw a gas grenade into the house through the window. It landed so close to me that my blanket burned. An officer then entered the building and fired a single shot. The shot that took my life.
My name is Catherine Johnson. At 92 years old, I became another victim of a broken system. My house had been marked for a raid based on falsified documents and testimony by detectives, and when the police came into my home, I fired one shot to protect myself. They fired 39 shots. Afterward, a police officer planted marijuana in my house to make it look more like a botched drug raid on a drug dealer. Three officers received sentences of 10, 6, and 5 years respectively.
I was just 13 years old when I was shot 7 times by police in the street on October 22, 2013. My crime? I was walking with a plastic toy replica of a rifle. I was swinging it and playing with it. In fact, the way that I was throwing it around made it apparent that it was a toy. The first shot went through my 5'4" body into the heart. I fell and the officer continued to shoot.
My name is Eric Garner. Police officers thought that I was selling single cigarettes, a mere misdemeanor. While trying to arrest me, an officer put me in a chokehold. My cries, pleading, and screams fell on deaf ears. My last words were, "I can't breathe."
My name is Michael Brown. My story and legacy are still unfolding, but the fact of the matter is that I was shot while unarmed and retreating. I was 35 feet away from the officer when I was shot. Though my story is still on everyone's lips, I have now left this earth and joined the ranks of many others with an array of stories, all leading to the same fate. When will the cycle end? We are gathered together today to mourn the tragic and unnecessary loss of life of both our brothers and sisters from around the nation. Those who've often been victims of systematic police violence, whose cries for justice have consistently been silenced, and whose troubles predate the civil rights movement. It is Michael Brown's life that has sparked a national dialogue again today, a rallying cry for those who have been left behind. Let us now allow the legacy of Michael's life and of those before him not pass in vain. Michael Brown is a martyr for the justice we demand today. Let us honor him now and all others who've been slain in a brief 30-second moment of silence.
You have been listening to the Kansas City's Vigil for Michael Brown on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City's Community Radio. We will return with more after a brief break. Now back to the All Souls Forum broadcast of Kansas City's Vigil for Michael Brown.
In handcuffs, getting locked down. Why? Because of people who ride in the unorganized people. And we are unorganized right now. And you're not about to stop this organization. That's all I'm asking is for my people to organize. So I don't understand why you woke up and you try to stop me from talking to my people. I love my people. I love all people. But right now, I'm focused. I'm focused on us. And we have to be focused on us. This is not the first time. This is not the last time. We're talking about Emmett Till. It's still happening. I don't care what they wear. But to me, I see white robes and white capes. And I see a target. And the target right now is our young brothers. And we have to protect them. Go back to Willie Lynch. Read the Willie Lynch letter. And understand the dynamic. Understand the science is behind this. Understand the science behind this. Before we can talk, we have to understand the science is behind this. Because we are in a war right now. We are in a war. before, and guess what? We have overcome before. And it's imperative that my brother stand with me on the front line. It is imperative for us to fight this battle that they brought upon us. We didn't ask for this. We're not out here killing children. Guess what? We're killing our own children. You know, we got to focus on us. We have to focus internally first. And then after that, we organize, we come together. Because this brother who died, Michael, that's just another product of our situation. But we have to change our situation first. We have to be accountable as men. We have to be accountable as women. Black men and women. And then any other people who want to help us, help us. Don't stop us, but help us. Don't try to stop this message, but help us with this message. Go to your people and talk to your people so your people can organize as well and help our people to show who's doing that today. That's why we can work together. But coming up here trying to stop this message ain't doing nothing for me. It's just letting the fire even more. Because I understand where we come from. I understand where we gotta go. And guess what, fellas? This is an upward road. We didn't just start. A lot of our people like to start stuff and fall off. We can't do this. That's the past. This is the future. We have to stand united. United we stand. Divided we fall. United we stand. Divided we are conquered. United we stand. Divided our babies die. United we stand. Divided we die. Divided we die. I had a whole message written right here for us. But it doesn't matter. I'm not here to read off no script. The ancestors are speaking through me, and I'm speaking to my people. I love y'all. I love y'all. I just hope one day, I hope after today we learn to love each other. But before we can love each other, we have to love self first. And before we love self, we have to know who we are. We have to know who we are. And guess what? We have to know our greatness. Because our greatness will keep us from killing each other. And then our greatness will keep us from having these other people kill our babies. Because our greatness will rise again. If you just invoke the ancestors that's locked up in your DNA, bring them back out. Bring the great Marcus Garvey out. Bring the great Dr. Martin Luther King out. Bring the great Malcolm X out. Bring these brothers out. Because these are strength. That is where our strength lies. We can't go nowhere else but inside to get our strength. We can't go nowhere else but inside to pull out this power. Because this shell has been weakened. This shell has been brought down to its weakest point. Now it's time for us to rise back up. Rise up our spirit. And as our spirit rises, our body will rise with it. But first, our spirit has to rise. We have to understand who we are. We have to understand this battle that we face. Our brothers, we have to understand sacrifice. We have to understand responsibility, accountability. I will not be here for another day and watch one of my brothers get slain on these streets. I will not. And the chess club will not. And any organization that's about the liberation and empowerment of our people will not. I embody the spirit of the ancestors. I give thanks to the ancestors and the creator of all things first. And I give thanks for the anointing of the ancestors to speak through me clearly so that my people can understand my voice and understand and hearken to the voice, because the voice of the ancestors is powerful and it overweighs my voice. I'm telling you, as a people, that we have to do something. We have to organize. Our greatest point was when we was organized, when we bought from each other, when we shopped with each other, when we invested with each other. Then guess what? Once you start doing that, guess what? You start orchestrating organizations. You start building power. You start building accountability. You make other people respect you. Your vote then counts. Your vote then counts. Once we start organizing, starting up black businesses, investing in these black businesses, patting the brothers and sisters who open these businesses on the back and say, keep going, keep striving for our people, because that's what we need. All this division on the street, that's for the birds. We didn't already live that street life. And we seen what it took us. We seen what it brought us to nowhere. Now we say only a crazy person does the same thing expecting a different result. We are crazy people and we think this is going to work. Us out here selling dope to our people. Us out here packing AK-47 Mac-11 and saying I'm going to knock that new head off. All that got to stop. You got to understand the science is behind that, y'all. Y'all have to understand the science is first. Because it's not, it was intentional. This don't come from you. We are not a people of violence. We've never been a violent people. Matter of fact, that's how we were colonized, because we were too nice. You have to understand who you are. Understand your nature. Your nature ain't for these guns to kill each other. Your nature is about guns to protect yourself, but it's not to go and kill your brother or go kill anybody else. It's to protect your fort. It's to protect your home. It's to protect these babies. It's to protect your family. It's to protect your pregnant wife. It's to protect that door that locks your house up. We have to learn who we are. We have to start to love each other. If anything else you don't take from tonight, if you don't take nothing else from tonight, please take one thing. That this is an ongoing situation and it will not stop. Know that first. If we do not organize, if we do not unite, if we do not come together under one goal, one aim, one love, then guess what? United we stand, divided we will fall. It is a formula. It is a science behind this. And we must understand this science. I don't want to keep us here all night, but I just want to make sure that these words penetrate. It penetrates your skull and go deep into the essence of your soul so you can understand what we need to do. And then we can start organizing. We need to start organizing. I'm going to be right here. Hit me up. The chess club is right here. Talk to us. We here to organize. We got to pull together. We got to hug each other for a while, brother. You know what I'm saying? We got to come together and show that love. Because that's all we lack. That's all we lack in this love. Love unites anything. Love unites any people. But we don't love ourselves because we don't know ourselves. And we don't know our greatness. And we don't know the greatness that we have shared to everybody in the world, to all races in the world. So I end this by saying, I love my people. I hope for the best. And I work for the best for my people. And I ask for you to stand with us. Be with us. Unite as one. Come with one aim, one goal. One peace, one love, people.
Thank you so much, Mr. Marcus Crossbell. It is very easy and natural in these moments to feel powerless. When we feel betrayed by those whom we are supposed to trust to guide and lead and protect us, it can hurt. And we do hurt. We ache under the heavy pressure caused by the lies, the corruption, the injustice, the inequality, and all of the lost lives. We need our moments of silence to console ourselves and to ease this pain. But that silence must only last for a moment. Now is the time for us to raise our voices. Now is the time for us to demand change. Now is the time for us to remember that we are not powerless, but we can find empowerment through our collective raised voices. We have gathered today, hundreds of us, because we believe that what happened to Mike Brown is wrong and should never happen again. We do have the power to combat police brutality. A Los Angeles gentleman by the name of Sean King has taken the time to identify 5 common sense federal policies to prevent police brutality. He has put these policies together in a petition that has already garnered over 150,000 signatures. Amber will now read this petition to you. This petition is for the many unarmed men and women who have been killed by the police. It is unacceptable for the police to serve as judge, jury, and executioner. The recent murders of Eric Garner, Michael Brown, and John Crawford this past month at the hands of police have so inflamed communities across the country that we believe we are at a tipping point with anger.
collective anger into effective policy solutions that will not only make life safer for citizens, but will restore confidence in police and bring hope to hopeless families and communities devastated by these nefarious acts of violence. Our five policy solutions are as follows. 1. The shooting and killing of an unarmed citizen who does not have an outstanding warrant for a violent crime should be a federal offense. 2. Chest holds and chest compressions by police, whatever the coroner lists as the official cause of death for Eric Garner, should be federally banned.
A cotton sack was put on my back when I was 5 years old. I lived in a plantation. Okay. But what I want to say to everyone and this generation that represents the future, I stand here as an elder who went to the Middle Passage in 1999 to lower a monument in the Middle Passage in 9,000 feet of water to start the healing and to acknowledge the bones that are in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean that has not been acknowledged. Lower the monument. And I'm writing about that story now. I'm here to tell you what I saw out on that boat. Since then, I have also gone. And I took up residence in the slave house on Dory Island. And I sat in the door of no return and missed the moon facing the Atlantic Ocean. Because I had to go there. And I know that God did not send me through these experiences for nothing. I want to apologize for my generation, the elders who are still living, and it's time for us to get busy. Because we forgot to tell you. You don't know, I know what time it is. I've seen it. Well, I've been around this block before. And it's time for us to tell our children, and let's get busy. Find out, like you said, about your history. Talk to your grandmother. Find out what part of Africa that she comes from. Find out about your family. Know your family's story. My grandfather was sold off of a ship in New Orleans in 1827, and they paid $1,700 for a man from Africa. That didn't mean he was ignorant and poor and pitiful. He was brilliant.
Come on, man.
And you are brilliant. And you come from a land of brilliancy.
Yeah.
You are not poor and pitiful. You are the survivor. That's what you are. You are the survivor. You are a survivor, people. Now, Dr. Maya Angelou, who just left us and who has joined the ancestors, and I feel the presence. They are here with us right now. And the initiative that God has put on my heart before I leave this earth is the restoration of restoring the family, the back to the table initiative to throw the family back to the basic fundamentals of what made our family strong. And it's never too late. We can start right now. When you go to your house, let me say something to the adults. Let me say something to the grown people up in here. Grown folk have always done what grown folk do. But they never did it in the presence of children. Anybody, child, whatever you're saying, whatever you are doing, you are telling that child, this is how you do. So the Bible says, remember and be mindful of the children, of the youth. Because you tell them this is how you're supposed to act. Change your behavior. Change the words you're speaking in their presence. Where you lead, they will follow. Show by an example. That is the greatest gift we can give our children. Is a good example of how to be a respectful human being. That your great, great grandmother was. Maya Angelou. So this is, I'm going to read it to y'all, and you go and find this for yourself and print it out and sign and put your name down and sign a commitment to the Black Family Pledge. And it reads, because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children can no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path our ancestors cleared, kneeling in perilous undergrowth, our children cannot find their way. Because we have bandaged the God of our ancestors, our children cannot pray. Because the long wails of our ancestors have faded beyond our hearing, our children cannot hear us crying. because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering. Our befuddled children give birth to children they neither want nor understand. Because we have forgotten how to love, the adversary is within our gates and holds us up to the mirror of the world, shouting, regard the lovely. Therefore, we pledge. Say, I pledge. Say, we pledge. We pledge to bind ourselves again to one another. To embrace our lowliest. To keep company with our loneliness. To educate our illiterate. To feed our starving. To clothe our ragged. And to do all good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. We are our brothers and sisters. Out of the belly of my soul. It's entitled, Let Freedom Ring. My country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountain side, let freedom ring. I want to hear the bell of freedom. I want to hear it ring. I am listening for the bell of freedom. I'm leaning in so I can hear the bell of freedom. Why can't I hear it? I've been waiting all my life. What does it sound like? Is it so silent that I can't hear it? I want to hear the bell of freedom ring before I leave this earth. My heart is yearning to hear it. Somebody help me hear the bell of freedom. I'm listening.
Did something spectacular. We decided to come together. There are some people in the audience as well who was a part of this initiative. So we're just really wanting to let you guys know that we hear the cries, that we want to stand tall, and that we want to make a difference, not only in our community, but as a people. It's just sad knowing that this is literally 3 hours away. This is only one of the incidents that have happened to our culture. There have been the Trayvon Martins. There's so many people, even here in our own city, that are hurt due to police brutality. And today and yesterday, we stand tall, just letting y'all know that we are fed up. We want to make a difference. So instead of being at the local bar and kicking it and having fun, we decided to be under one roof and talk about the changes and provisions that we want to see. This NOT campaign is something that we want to implement. It's so raw to the point where we don't have a mission statement yet. But when we come together under one roof and say that we want to make a difference, that's all we need. NOT stands for knowing, nothing often trapped. And that's exactly what it does. We want to educate people of our people. We want to educate people about our kings and queens, because I think we forgot about that, right? This is more than just the education system. We want to be out into the community. We want to build the gardens. We want to put the money back into our black-owned businesses. Yeah. We said we will do whatever it takes. If we have to knock door to door to let people know about what we're wanting to do, we want to make sure that we get the message out. If you were there last night, can you just raise your hand? I see y'all. And I hope that the community see us as well, because we are going to make a difference. We're going to spread the word. We're going to do what we have to do. But more so importantly, we're going to communicate with the community so y'all know exactly what we're wanting to do. We're going to post flyers. We're going to be in your community. My job wasn't to come up here and talk about this campaign, but it needed to be heard. It needed to be heard. So if you want more information and you have access to Twitter, Instagram, the NOT campaign, please follow that. It has to stop. So I'm going to go ahead and just pass the microphone. They will then pass it back, and we will have a chant for you guys.
I'll explain it. I promise I will.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Aria Young. I'm a recent graduate from UNC, and I'm a product of North County, St. Louis. Well, once again, my name is Aria Young. I'm a recent UMKC graduate, and I'm a product of North County, St. Louis, Missouri. I was born and raised there, and I was one of the few who were actually able to get a chance to get out of there and see what else was in the world. Yesterday, we were able to get together with some UMKC students, some concerned civilians in the community, and people who had just heard it through word of mouth. And we sat in these rooms and we poured out our pain to each other. And we decided that we were tired of being silent. We decided that we were tired of seeing our own blood in the street. And we were tired of no one listening to us or even caring that our cries were going into the night. We decided that the NOT campaign is where we're going to start, but it's definitely not where we are going to end. We decided that we were going to go beyond the community. There was a gentleman that was with us the other day that said, even though you're not at the table, doesn't mean you're not on the menu. Someone else is making decisions for us, and we are not even in the room.
Right.
Someone is making these laws possible and passing these policies and writing these legislators, and we are not even in the room.
Right.
We're not voting. We don't know how to vote. We don't know what a vote is because we didn't trust the vote. And so the NOT campaign will touch the community. We will flood the streets. We will knock on the doors. But we're also going to start getting ourselves at the table. Because there's somebody out there who knows the information, but somebody's not doing their job. And it's our job to figure out who that person is. It's our job to tap into that information. It's our job to put our names on the petitions. It's our job to know the language of the legislature. And that's why the NOT campaign is not going to stop with just educating the community. It's going to start with us, and it's going to end when we start touching the state, and we're going to start touching the federal government, and we're going to make it more than just a culture. We're going to make it history. So I ask that, start with the education. Educate your neighbors, your children, your grandchildren, your cousins. But don't forget that even though you're not at the table, doesn't mean that you're not on the menu. So don't get too comfortable. Don't get too satisfied. We got the front yards and the backyards and the driveways, and we didn't got a little bit too comfortable because we're still not at the table. And so always be aware. And until we're at that table, until we know that language, others will continue to make those decisions for us. And that's the direction that we want to go with the NOT campaign. Thank you, everyone.
We got to talk to him because we got handed the Section 8 housing, we got handed the high school diploma, and we have gotten comfortable. So we moving to underground. People don't know when he put our hands up. He put his hands up because he was on unsettled ground. Therefore, just imagine him running. His heart is beating. Everyone, put your hands up. Imagine him. He's hurt. Imagine the bullet going through his back. He wants to see his grandmother. He's on unsettled ground. Can anyone hear him? He's crying for help. So today we say don't shoot because they don't recognize us as citizens of America.
Right.
We say don't shoot because we don't know how to hold the
right.
We're not at the table. We vacate our seats when we don't talk. We vacate the seat at the table because we don't want to come together. United we stand. United we fight. Let's not vacate the seat at the table because we've gotten comfortable. We're on unsettled ground. I'm not here to be quiet. This is not a time of healing. I'm scratching until you feel the wound, until you feel the hurt, until somebody does something. I asked some people at UMKC, I said, who's going to take the initiative? And the reason we got nowhere because no one knows. Well, all of us are educated to some degree, but something we don't know. So let's stand today and say, we're going to take the initiative. Don't shoot. You don't recognize me. I understand. But I'm going to take the initiative. So it ends today. It ends today. And Eric Gardner, when he lost his life, it ended today. But that means that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. I'm going to be back to that.
For exactly what he just said. That is exactly what we're going to change. I need everyone to get loud at the top of their lungs. It ends today.
It ends today.
It ends today. All the turmoil, it ends today. All of the hurt, it ends today. We need to know our truest potential. It ends today. Thank you so much. If you want more information about this campaign, please look for us. Please. We want to. We want to serve. We want to make sure we are the vessels. We want to make sure we're the blood that's running through those vessels. Let's do this together. Thank you so much.
It does end today. It ends the moment we all decide it does. Ladies and gentlemen, please light your candles if you have them and give your attention to Mr. Rob Love as he performs a spoken word piece.
And love, family. And when I say family, I mean it in the truest sense of the word. We stand here today, united, heavy-hearted, but the beauty of pain is that it inspires us to reach a higher level of consciousness. We have that opportunity today. I hope we take it. In the memory of Mike Brown and all those lost unjustly. The name of the poem that I have today is called Beginning. I hope that it gives you some measure of clarity, and I hope that it continues to stoke the fire inside of you that refuses to die or lay down. This poem is called Beginning. For those who don't understand, This hurts so bad because his life was just beginning. He was starting college the next day. His parents were beaming with pride. He made it. He and his friends were almost home. He told his friends to keep running, bro. Unarmed, hands up, in broad daylight, he got bullets in his back. The dream of survival gone like that. 18 years. More than enough time for change to have manifested, but it remains arrested. Why? Look at this grand lie that's been devised. This false hope of equality and a share of America's winning through its dirty dealing. A hustle only works if all involved expect to gain something. So these seeds of deception have grown with our help, of course. A horrible state of things is always part oppression, part complacency. And right now we stand facing a nation's uncovered sins. Bare naked, no real apologies in sight to those who can stand to keep their eyes open. But we still spot that twisted grin, normally flashed in the comfort of manufactured darkness, now revealed when slivers of light named Mike, Sean, Trayvon, Oscar, Eric, Amadou, and the countless others who shine through to the proof. It's not like we have to look that hard to see an oppressor's view of the oppressed. No value on our lives. Condoning that long-accepted crime of attacking blackness if a threat is perceived, or better put, if fear dominates a weak soul, turning them into murderers on taxpayer payroll. The National Guard in our neighborhood? Are we prisoners?
Yeah.
Or still just considered unwanted visitors in a home that we built? Innocent victims of someone's rampant guilt, supported by law book schemes and mainstream media films, enforced by badge and loose firearms, spiritual alarms are sounding. Can you hear them? The outrage is tangible and pounding like rapid heartbeat. Can you feel it? The age of anything being discreet is over. Which means that if you aren't tuned in now, truthfully, you may never be. You may never greet truth and compassion with open mind and acknowledge that divine urging for awakening. More prone to consider this moment, this incident, an anomaly. That these feelings will disappear and soon will regain that familiar American brand of normalcy. This is how it's been since the beginning of this country's inception. We were naive to think for a second that things have changed. It runs much deeper than the many young brothers and sisters left openly defeated for our communities to see, etched in our psyches, face down on the concrete, brutalized and maimed, Ezell Ford, John Crawford, and Mike Brown slain over a three-day span. What message is this system sending? Is this supposed to be a method of will bending? The sense is that someone is afraid and that someone is not us. If things are gonna go this way, then they can go that way. Because when a people refuses to keep suffering silently with grace, the chains finally begin to break. When real change can take shape in this place, something is shifting. We must act. And every citizen of every color that knows the depth of hate exhibited through the disregarding of humanity for race has reason to stand up. Any one of us, our children, could be the next one who tries to get done in. And then what would we have? Yet another rally. People holding up signs with our name. but this can change. We, the true power holders, can say today that it stops. Start laying the foundations in your neighborhood, on your block, in order to unlock minds to break free from fear-based confines. The truth is that we are all that we have left to turn to. Look around you. Look around you. Right now, you can see the start of a new beginning. Thank you.
Before we close the official portion of this event, we want to give thanks where thanks is due. Much appreciation goes to the Chess Club. Ad hoc, UMKC's amazing students, Councilman Scott Taylor, KC's Parks and Rec, all of our fabulous speakers, performers, volunteers, but most importantly, all of you. Because we all chose to come together today, we are able to raise our voices and take a first step as a community towards ending police brutality. This right here is why I will forever love Kansas City. We will be collecting donations to go towards the Michael Brown Jr. Memorial Fund, as well as to cover the cost of pulling off this event. There will be gentlemen, these two gentlemen here, in bright neon green t-shirts with buckets. You can put your contributions in those buckets. We will post online how much we are able to raise to donate to his family. Thank you in advance for your donation.
To learn more about the other vigils that happened across the United States, go to facebook.com/NMOS2014. Or to find out more about Kansas City's vigil for Michael Brown, go to Facebook and do a search for National Moment of Silence, Kansas City. Thank you for listening to the All Souls Forum, and stay tuned for more great KKFI programming.
Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up, don't shoot!